hours. This is Millennium Radio with the main news.
Millennium News, keeping you informed in both local, sports, and international news.
Good evening and welcome to the main news at 18 hours. We take a look at the stories making headlines. FODEP rejects government's plan to regulate MPs' conduct. Stakeholders defend KCM amid concerns over expatriate rules and sidelines locals. Trump administration reclassifies cannabis as less dangerous.
Millennium FM, the voice of development.
For the details, my name is Kalunga Mukulangoma Mwape. The Foundation for Democratic Process, FODEP, has opposed government's move to introduce a law governing the conduct of members of parliament. Government has recently tabled a bill aimed at regulating the behavior of MPs in the National Assembly. However, FODEP Executive Director Mwenda Mumbuna says that such a law is unnecessary as the conduct of MPs is already guided by existing parliamentary standing orders. Mr. Mumbuna warns that introducing new legislation could limit freedom of expression among lawmakers.
That's why the standing orders and the ethics committees for the National Assembly. So we don't need to have a particular law which governs the conduct of members of parliament. Why do you need to do that? These are adults who are supposed to be able to self-govern themselves. But the problem with such a law is that it will limit the freedom of expression within the National Assembly. So it's not quite a necessary law. I mean, it should not be based on a few incidents which have been done. We've had parliament for the last 6 years and we didn't need that law. And the question is, what is happening to this parliament where we need such a law to govern members of parliament?
Meanwhile, Mpika, Member of Parliament Francis Kapyanga, has criticized the move, accusing the United Party for National Development, UPND, of attempting to suppress a dissent. Mr. Kapyanga says that the proposed law may weaken checks and balances by restricting opposition voices.
The bill is part of the so many draconian laws that the UPND have passed, and they continue to pass in order to hold on to power. This is not in isolation, and this is not aimed at anything. The Powers and the Privileges Act, the current Powers and Privileges Act, is what has always existed. So the question must be, why now, under the UPND, why are they changing it? It's because the UPND is increasingly becoming authoritarian, and they do not want to be checked by anyone. They do not want to, they want everyone to stand on you. You are a de facto one-party state. And this should worry everyone of the Zambian people.
The Council of Churches in Zambia, CCZ, has called on members of the clergy to refrain from publicly endorsing or anointing political candidates as being chosen by God, cautioning that such actions may have unintended negative consequences on both the church and the nation. CCZ General Secretary, Father James Spirit, emphasized that the role of the church is to provide moral and scriptural guidance that enables citizens to make informed and responsible decisions. Father Perry notes that the clergy holds significant influence and highly respected within their congregations. He further stressed that beyond politics, leaders are human beings and in many cases members of the church, therefore they should not be labeled or treated in a manner that undermines their dignity. Father Perry encouraged political leaders to remain open to constructive engagement from the church, noting that its role is not merely to praise but also to offer counsel where necessary. He emphasized that leadership choices must be guided by competence, integrity, and the ability to deliver for all Zambians. Father Perry therefore urged the clergy to exercise this responsibility with caution and integrity, avoiding the promotion of personal political preferences that may undermine the democratic fabric of the nation.
People who say church and politics should not mix, I think what they mean is the church should not be partisan. The church can participate in politics, but should not be partisan. As I have already said, the church is in the country. Mpingo uri mziko. Ndipo chiri chonzi chamene chikhudza vanthu mu community zathu, mumetikhala, mpingo uri momwe muja. So it's very difficult to separate the church completely from politics. But we can separate the church from partisan politics, where you associate with a particular political party. The church, we should not do that. Because the church, we have a role to speak to the things happening in.
Stakeholders have come to the defense of Konkola Copper Mines KCM following concerns over the continued preference for expatriates in critical decision-making positions and the sidelining of local contractors on certain projects. The Zambia Civil Liberties Union has expressed satisfaction with the KCM's current operational conduct, particularly regarding its treatment of local suppliers, despite concerns that the company has not fully met some of its commitments to Zambians. Meanwhile, the Zambia National Miners and Allied Workers NUMAO, President Simujika says that KCM has maintained the good conditions of service for its workers. Mr. Simujika adds that the company has remained consistent in adhering to labor laws as previously pledged.
For 2026, the year 2026, which was 13%, which was relatively high, and the workers were happy with that increment. So, I think we have no issues really with KCM. I think the issues that we are handling with KCM are issues of how in this dispensation of contracting, how are the permanent workers of KCM not going to be disadvantaged by the issues of contracting other companies to really help KCM move forward.
An Association of Mining Contractors and Suppliers President Costa Mwaba says that the association is actively engaging KCM on the need to prioritize local contractors in the awarding of contracts. Mr. Mwaba notes that this engagement follows the introduction of Statutory Instrument No. 68 of 2025. However, he acknowledges that despite the concerns, KCM has continued to pay contractors on time.
The engagements are underway and they are complying with our engagements. You know, we've had meetings here and there, and we are even scheduled to have another meeting, and there will also be a vendor day that is coming, to which all the stakeholders will be put together, and we exchange views in terms of how we want to manage the SI state going forward. No, even the supplying of fuel, transportation, everything, 20% has to be given to local suppliers and contractors. That is the president of the SI, and those are the engagements we are having with the KCM management. At the senior most, we are thinking we look at all the scope that is available, and then we see local suppliers and contractors with capacity to participate.
The Independent Broadcasting Authority, IB, has warned media houses against misinformation on the coverage of matters surrounding the late former President Edgar Gachagua Lungu. IB Director General Webster Malido says that while the issue is of a high public interest, broadcasters must exercise caution and responsibility in their reporting. Mr. Malido has urged media institutions to avoid causing further distress to the bereaved family and unnecessary anxiety among the public. He has also advised broadcasters to rely on only credible and official sources, including authorized spokespersons, in order to maintain accuracy and public trust. The IB has further warned that the dissemination of unverified information undermines the credibility of the media and compromises the public's right to balanced reporting. He adds that the warning is in line with the Independent Broadcasting Authority Act of 2002, which promotes professional and ethical broadcasting standards.
And now, business news.
Energy and business expert Leonard Sepe says that increased investment in Zambia's energy sector could position the country as a regional energy export hub. Mr. Sepe notes that such a development would enable Zambia to generate additional revenue and earn foreign exchange. He adds that the country is on course to achieving energy security by 2030, driven by rising investment in the sector. He describes this trend as a positive indicator for the country's economic growth and long-term sustainability. And Mr. Sepe adds that there is need for the government to continue creating a conducive environment continuously.
Security. Like you have rightly mentioned, the interventions that have been put up by energy regulation boards, they are providing a conducive trading environment. And this is what has led to the to the massive investment in the sector. So by that,